This evening now, Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, and taking the title for the message from verse 11. Go forth. Go forth. Come and see. O ye daughters of the king, Zion is God's kingdom, God's people. Go forth and see and behold. Behold King Solomon, the King of Kings, the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ, wherewith the crown, wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his wedding feast, in the day of the gladness, the gladness of his heart. Behold King Solomon, crowned with all glory and honor. What a privilege to have eyes of faith to behold our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Matthew 12, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a great king, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he's King of Kings, isn't he? Solomon had, talking about Solomon the king, son of David, Solomon had great wisdom, riches, power, but they all pale in comparison to the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom all wisdom dwells, in whom all spiritual blessings are found, and who possesses eternal and sovereign power over all things. Solomon had riches and power, but where did he get those? Solomon had wisdom. The Lord gave him those things, but our Lord Jesus Christ possesses all sovereign power over all things. David said in Psalm 103, the Lord prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. There's no place where the King of Kings does not rule. There's no place where he does not have dominion over all things, of him and through him and to him. All things, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Again in these verses, verse 6 down through verse 11, we have a beautiful wedding picture between Christ and his chosen bride, his elect, his church. He bought her. He chose her. He bought her. He called her. He said, you're mine. You're mine. The Lord loved the church and bought the church with his own blood that we should be holy without blame before him in love. He chose us not because we were holy. We were everything but that. He chose us that in Christ we should be holy in him. Now it's a royal wedding feast. The creed arranged by the eternal grace and purpose of God. The Lord bought the church with his own blood, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. By his irresistible grace, we're protected by his power. She is carried through the wilderness of sin by the everlasting arms of his love. We are gathered unto him and we're safe in his arms. None can pluck them out of his hand or say unto him, Lord God, what doest thou? We're safe in his hand. Remember, turn one page back. Chapter 2. Verse 4 and following. You see that verse 4? He brought me into the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. We're safe in his hand. Safe in his hand. No one can pluck him out of his hand. He's the great and good shepherd who saves his sheep with his own blood. We read Sunday, Isaiah 40, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He'll gather his lambs unto himself and he carries them in his heart, in his bosom. Now, verse 6, who is this? The question is asked, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? That's where God finds us, in a waste, howling wilderness, isn't it? Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Like pillars of smoke perfumed with myrrh, frankincense, with all the powders of the merchant, the good merchant. Who is this that comes out of the wilderness smelling so sweet? His bride, his church, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in glory. Remember we studied through the Revelation, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We studied that in Revelation 20. She shall be arrayed in those beautiful garments that are pure and white, spotless, the Lord's righteousness. So long as we're in this world as believers, we live in this wilderness, don't we? This is the wilderness we live in. It's a wilderness of sin. But the believer is like Abraham. We're pilgrims and strangers here. We're just passing through, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're just passing through. This is not our home. We're here for a while, and then we're gone. All flesh is grass. Like our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and where is it now? It's gone. Like the children of Israel, that is, those who believed and trusted the Lord in those 40 years were safely kept in the wilderness. Remember that pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day? And the Lord victoriously brought them into the land of Canaan, typical of our heavenly rest. It was a land described that overflowed with milk and honey. It's a pleasant land. By His grace, He brings us out of the wilderness of sin. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And what do? We show forth the praises of Him who did that. He called us. We didn't call upon Him. He first called us. We only love Him because He first loved us. When I was studying and reading that, I kept thinking about a scripture. I couldn't find it. It took me a while to find it. I finally did. In Deuteronomy 32, let me just read it to you. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is a lot of His inheritance. Remember, Jacob have I loved? Esau have I hated? He found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about and instructed him and kept him as the apple of His eye. And that's what He does for us. He loved us with an everlasting love. He found us down in the desert land, in the waste, howling wilderness. He led us about and He instructs us with the way of salvation in Christ. And then look what it says. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Sinners saved by His grace, like pillars of smoke perfumed. Now, most of you have been around a campfire. And if that smoke blows your way, it doesn't smell like perfume, does it? Kind of obnoxious, isn't it? But this smoke here is perfumed. It's a sweet smelling savor. Someone said, where there's smoke, there's fire. The believer's heart is inflamed with love for Christ. Her affections are set on things above, not on the perishing things of this world. Surely we read in Scripture, the fashion of this world is passing away. Notice something strange and wonderful about this smoke. It's perfume, which is sweet-smelling powders of the merchant. That merchant there is Christ. He's purchased us and has given us the sweet grace of God the Holy Spirit. He perfumes us with that sweet-smelling savor of His sacrifice. He gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. These powders of His grace are not native to the soil of our depraved heart, are they? All of our righteousnesses in God's sight is nothing but filthy rags. They stink. But with His garments on, the powders are not products and native to the soul of our depraved, guilty heart. They are imported from a heavenly country, from the throne of God, and applied by His sovereign grace
and sovereign purpose. Who made you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? If you received it now, why would you glory? As if you didn't receive it by His grace alone. We all can say, every believer can say, I am what I am. What? By His grace. By His grace. Now, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Oh, His people called to Himself. And they're perfumed with all the fragrance of God, the Holy Spirit. And this merchant has bought all these powders and perfumed us with His grace. Now look at verse 7 and 8. Behold, His bed, talking about Solomon's bed, it's the bed of his salvation, which is Solomon's. Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? 60 valiant men are about it. Someone said it's a definite number for an indefinite. Men are about it. The valiant men, the soldiers, the fighters of Israel, they all hold swords. Being expert, they're not rookies. They're expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his side because of the fear of the night. We see the rest and safety of those that are one with Christ, with that union with Christ. Believers are safe in His house, in His bed, on His couch. We are one with Him. Solomon here is type and picture of the greater Solomon, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold His bed. Consider and meditate upon the bed rest wherewith we enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ, resting in Him. We cease from our own labors and we enter into His rest, don't we? We rest in Him. Christ is our Sabbath rest. We recline in the comfort of His grace. We lay down in the sweet promises of His word. And what do we find? We find peace to our soul, don't we? He said, come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. They are the exceeding great and precious promises of God's gospel to us. This bed of salvation He bought for us with His own blood. This bed of salvation He owns and maintains. This bed of salvation He guards with His presence and power. This bed of salvation is big enough for the greatest sinner to find and to wrap himself up in the covers of His righteousness and rest in Him. He came to save sinners, the chief of sinners. In chapter 1, it talks about that bed in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 16. He says, our bed is green, full of life, full of sap, full of life. Notice verse 8, this bed of salvation is all protected by these valiant men, these 60 valiant men. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear of the night. He stands ready to fight. He stands ready to draw the sword. And to defend the king, defend the bed and those in union with Christ. The valiant, strong, courageous men of Israel are about this bed. They surround the bed. They're ready to fight the good fight of faith with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what that sword's a picture of. The sword of the Word of the Lord is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. These valiant men are the same as the watchmen, typical of God's servants, ready to defend the gospel, ready to draw the sword of the gospel, ready, able, and willing to preach Christ. To preach Christ. As Paul said, for as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel of God to you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God
unto salvation to everyone that believes, for in that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. These servants of the Lord are not rookies. They're valiant men. They're expert. They're expert in warfare. They know the enemies. They know who the enemy is. The enemies of the Lord and His gospel are ready to confront them and to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. These servants are not cowards. They're bold men by His grace. They're wise men able to know how to fight. They're motivated men by one single cause, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cause of God and His truth. These servants of the Lord stand their post. They continue their watch, even in the fear of night, even in the face of danger. They cannot and will not compromise and give aid and comfort to the enemies of the gospel. We say with Paul, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, he'll be okay. Let him be damned. That's what the word says. Now look at verse 9 and 10. The Lord Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of salvation. He's the Alpha and the Omega of salvation. Verse 9 and 10. King Solomon made himself a chariot or a bed. This is a chariot, marriage chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof, describing this bed, this wedding feast bed, this chariot, it's called. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it purple, and the midst thereof, in the middle of that, it paved with love for somebody. For the daughters of Jerusalem, for His covenant people. Go forth, ye daughters of Zion. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega of salvation. The bed speaks of our rest and communion and union with the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed gospel rest of faith we have in Him. The chariot speaks of the everlasting covenant of grace in Christ, made of the finest cedar wood of Lebanon. Whenever you read through 1st and 2nd Kings, when it talks about the construction of the temple and all those things that were made, Solomon went to Lebanon and found the best cedar wood. Something very special about that cedar wood. Its fragrance is, you ever open up one of those old cedar chests? Why do they make them out of cedar? Well, that wood won't rot. It's enduring wood. And that's typical of the gospel. It has a sweet aroma unto it. The chariot speaks of the everlasting gospel of Christ, made of the finest cedar wood, wood that typically will not rot, will not decay, but ever remains the same. Isn't that the gospel? Never needs to be changed, does it? We have all these computer things, all these apps and all these programs constantly need updated, don't they? To me, it's right aggravating. I just get used to using something and say, okay, we're going to update it. Drives me nuts. I'm too old to keep up. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ never changes. Never needs improvement. Never needs updates. What was true 10 billions of years ago in the everlasting covenant of grace is still true today. The gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The gospel chariot of the Lord Jesus Christ is that chariot in which the Lord reveals Himself unto us. He hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. To many, the gospel of Christ is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, the power of God and the salvation. It is the gospel chariot of salvation in which the King rides through this world. Remember our study in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. I told you that was one of the key verses. Remember? I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. It's the gospel of God, salvation concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice three or four things about this special chariot made of this special wood, designed and constructed. King Solomon made himself, for himself, this chariot to carry his people in. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it as purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for everybody in the world. No, for specific people, for the daughters of Jerusalem, for his people. Now let's look at these symbolic details. Pillars made of silver. All the attributes of God are magnified in this chariot of salvation. It's the silver of his love. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us. Sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. It's the silver of his, and the pillar and silver of his mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's the pillars made of silver, the silver of his justice. He's a just God and Savior. And the pillars of his holiness. God saves sinners in a way that's honoring to his own character. God is holy. The bottom of it's made of gold. Typical of the precious promises and purpose and decrees of his word. Good as gold. You ever heard that saying? It's as good as gold. It's pure gold. The gold of his word. It's enduring, solid, valuable, unchanging. You can take it to the bank. You can believe his word. You can trust his word. The covering of it, purple. You see that? Believers are covered in the blood of Christ. That purple is symbolic of the blood atonement of Christ. Blood red canopy of Christ's blood covers most of our sins. It covers the big sin anyway, doesn't it? And the little ones we have to take care of. That's not so. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. There is no such thing as little sin, because every sin is against God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all our sin. We're covered in the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's heart-cheering, it's saving to the uttermost glory. No wonder Peter called this blood precious blood. It's the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's always been salvation through the blood. Always. Always. And I like this part. In the midst thereof. Now all about this bed we have pillars of silver and we have bottom of gold and the covering is purple. But in the middle of that chariot, it paved with love. He's in love with us, and we're in love with him. It paved with love. The gospel of Christ, this chariot gospel, this chariot of salvation is paved with love. It's lined within with the unchanging, sovereign, never failing love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the love of God which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unfailing love. He's loved his church with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, does he draw us to himself. The exterior is silver and gold, cedar and purple, and the guards are about it. But when the bride enters within, she rests on the pavement, the foundation of his sovereign love, and she finds sweet delight within his everlasting arms. Isn't that delightful? Our Lord said this in John 13 on the eve of the cross. When the Lord knew his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which are in the world, He loved them to the end. Now, verse 11 in closing. Go forth. Go forth in the power of His love. Go forth, you daughters of Zion. These daughters of Zion and the daughters of Jerusalem are all sinners, redeemed by His blood and called and saved by His grace. Go forth, ye daughters, sinners saved by the grace of God, who dwell in Zion, the church of the living God, and behold your King. Behold the King of Kings. Behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him. In the day of this wedding feast, in the day of this marriage, in the day of the gladness of his heart. Now behold him. Behold the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The daughters of Zion own and love their King, their Lord. They gladly submit to his reign over them as their God and Savior. For Christ has been enthroned. He's enthroned in glory, right? But anywhere else he's enthroned? He's enthroned in our heart. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The daughters of Zion and true believers who bow and submit to his lordship, true believers, crown him with many crowns. He says of his family, as we read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciple and said, behold my mother, behold my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Faith, true saving faith, the faith of God's elect, crowns him by believing him, for true faith honors him. True faith crowns him who God has crowned as Lord and Christ. God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, he made him both Lord and Christ. Let us go forth and behold his greatness of his crowning grace to sinners. And we do crown him as Lord, don't we? John Gill said this, and I'll quit with this statement. For in every act of faith in Christ and on Christ is putting a crown on his head. Every submission to the ordinances of the Lord is acknowledging him King of the saints. Every ascription of salvation to him and by his grace by any is casting their crowns at him and setting one on his head. We crown him as Lord and King of all our salvation.